5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Before I get into today's podcast question, I did a speech this morning at Arizona State University, and I want to thank them and Ed Olson and that the sports marketing class that I was a part of. And if there's any new listeners from that class, welcome. I will tell all of you, if you're a new listener from that class or just otherwise, please go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn. I love having connections with all of you. You can ask questions there of me, and I will, chances are, answer them on a show because I think it's great to share the advice that I have. We also have a private Facebook group. Let's go to Facebook and search for the Work in Sports Podcast and join that group too. A lot of people that are guests from prior, expert guests that are part of that group, over 1,000 people from across the nation and across the world who are asking questions about their sports career and networking with one another. So it's a really cool place to be. One more thing, which I forget to mention this enough. So many of you in our audience are students, and I always forget to tell you guys that and girls that we have this really good student pricing deal at Work in Sports. Now, I'm just looking at the site really quick. We currently have 10,685 active sports jobs and another 696 internships. I mean, that's pretty good. That's an insane amount of opportunity. All you need is one of those, right? All you need is one perfect match, and that could be exactly the chance you need, and the odds are in your favor when you have that many available jobs. Those of you that are students, we've recently introduced deeply discounted student pricing. So go get this. A six-month membership for only $30. So $5 a month. That's an 87% savings, which is Rob Gronkowski's number. And I love Gronk, so maybe that's why it's an 87% savings. Hadn't thought of that. You get all the features and benefits of a full premium membership, because it is a full premium membership, but at a deeply discounted student rate. Our little shout out to the students out there trying to make it in the sports industry. We love and appreciate all of you, and we want to do whatever we can to help. So go to workinsports.com/students, STUDENTS, notice the S on the end, and fill out your membership details. I will tell you this, you need to have and use your .edu email address. That's how we know you're actually a student, because this is student pricing. All right, real quick, if you're a student, you may be thinking, I'm not ready for a job yet, don't need the service. Wrong answer. Now is actually when you need it the most, and here's why. I want you to think of it like it's a tool to help almost guide your adventure of college. Here's what I mean. Go through and pick out 10 to 15 jobs that interest you. Don't care about whether you're going to apply to them or not. Doesn't matter where they are. Just jobs that interest you, that are in your field, that look like it might be a job you would want. Then I want you to go through those job descriptions, write down all the key pieces of knowledge, tools, experiences, requirements, all the things that they expect out of this job. Write them down. Go through all 10 of them, or 15 of them, or however many you choose. Write down all of those keyword terms of what they're expecting and need. Then take that list and line it up against the skills that you actually have right now. You're going to find there are gaps. You're going to find there are things that they want that you don't have. Now you set yourself up for a game plan for the rest of your college experience. And even after that, because even if you graduated or you're getting your master's or whatever it may be, you can still take online courses. You can still just watch YouTube videos. But you need to obtain the skills that the industry wants and needs and demands. And the best way to do that is by having access to all these different job opportunities that we have on our site. So you can use it like a tool, even if you're not quite ready to graduate and start applying for jobs. Plus, we have internships, which is super important. All right, that's just a little bonus tip for you today. A little bonus. Let's get into today's question from Harrison in New Hampshire. Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for the podcast. I have really learned a ton. Just wondering, should I pause my job search over the holidays? Seems like it's a hard time to make any progress. You know, it's a great question, and Thanksgiving is later this week, and I'm glad to talk about this because I'm going to give you a very simple answer. No, you should not pause your job search over the holidays. And then that's it. We're all done. Episode done. No, just kidding. There's plenty more to talk about with this. Let's dig into it. There are many reasons you should keep going, and namely, many employers are still active and are impressed by those people who don't take time off this time of year. That's especially important in the sports industry. Just think about it. There is no break. Football, basketball, hockey, soccer, baseball's off-season adventure. All those things are in full force. There is no break. The people are actively working out there, and they're not even thinking about the holidays. Trust me, I've been there. From my own experience, holidays are blurry lines for people in sports. Everybody else knows that the holidays have an exact date. Thanksgiving is this day. Christmas is this day. New Year's is this day. But when you work in sports and you have odd hours and a lot of requirements, especially this time of year, strange off days. I had like Tuesdays and Wednesdays were my off days for 5 or 6 years, probably. The holidays are sometimes where you can squeeze them in. So you don't really pause this time of year when you're in the sports industry and slow down. The train doesn't stop. You just keep going. Now, sometimes people don't like to hire right before the holidays because they're bringing in a new staff person when it is a very confusing time. Some people are taking vacation. Some people are taking more off days. It can be hard to get somebody into the framework of the operation in before the holidays, but they are actively looking. They might not hire until January, but they might actively be looking and filling in and scheduling interviews and trying to find the right candidates in November, in December. So I want to pivot the conversation now into some housekeeping. Like, what should you be doing to get yourself really ready for that January push? And what I mean by January push is many organizations wait till January to do their actual hiring, not only because of the reason I just gave that the schedule can tend to tone down a little bit, but it's also when the budgets for hiring for the new year kick in and can often result in an ability to add a new headcount to your organization. New budget, new money, opportunity. So that helps people get off on the right foot in January. So right now, what should you be doing right now to get yourself really prepared for the January push? The first thing I like to remind people of is that now is a really good time to contact all of your references and update their contact information. I've had this exact scenario play out at least 3 times in my career. I'll get the interview. I'll mail the interview. I'll get asked to provide references. And I'll think to myself, no problem. I've got plenty of people that will speak on my behalf. I'll return home to find out I have outdated numbers, emails, or employment information for some of my contacts. Then I'll scramble through a panic-induced sweats and find their proper information and just be really stressed out by it. There's a better way. Reach out to them now. Let them know you're going to be looking for a new career. Make sure they're still comfortable being a reference. Make sure you've got the right information on them. This is a really easy task unless you like ran over their cat recently. You just get to work, contact all your references, make sure you've got all the right career contact information for them, and that will really help. Number two, make sure you go through your social profiles and get rid of any instances of you being dumb. If you're trying to get on the path to getting hired, then you have to remember that hiring managers and recruiters will go back and look at your social media accounts. Now, for the last couple of years, you may have been in a job and not really thinking about it and done some stupid things on social media. Oh, well, no big deal. No skin off my back. Well, now that you're getting back out there or you're really looking for a hardcore job now, this is when you're really going after it. You have to realize that people are going to go back and look through your profiles before they decide to interview, before they decide to hire you. I mean, look at all the things that happened in baseball this year from various players who had, racially motivated tweets from years ago, or they had pictures of not flattering pictures of them on Facebook or on Instagram. Be really careful about the way that your brand is out there, because people do look, recruiters do look. I want you to, number three, prepare for common questions during the interview process. After a lot of years going through interviews and talking to a lot of different executives that conduct interviews, there's a lot of common questions that come about. What single project or task would you consider your most significant accomplishment in your career to date? Or what's one big challenge or one big failure you had and how did you overcome it? You're going to find that there are some very common questions out there, and it's a good thing to do a little bit of research on the internet, find out what those questions are, and prepare yourself a little bit for them. It's a good time to go through some mock interview process and just think through some of these questions. You're going to you're not going to have the exact same experience. You're not going to walk into an interview and they're going to ask you a list of the 10 questions you studied. It's not like you're cramming for a test. But the more you kind of repeat these types of questions and these certain scenarios in your head, you can really start to get some comfort in them. And I think now is a good time to do that. So that maybe you're a month away from having a really good interview in January, but you're feeling like you're getting prepared. Number four, good time of year to stimulate your network. You know, I'm on LinkedIn all the time. I'm a freak. I love it. It's professional, so I see less pictures of people's cats, but I get a lot of more business news. I see what people are sharing, and I see trends of different people in my network and what they're up to. One of my biggest pet peeves, and I get this a lot, is when someone coming up on their job search sends out a blast to their entire set of connections and says something like, if you know anyone searching for a talented, hardworking, enthusiastic project manager, please connect me with them because I know I can fill whatever role they have. And it's this blast technology, this like shotgun technique of just spray your word out there and wait for magic to happen. I'll tell you why this drives me nuts. You've created an impersonal barrier between you and your network because you just sent them out a chain mail, essentially. You've made people feel bad for you rather than inspired to help you, right? They're probably feeling sympathetic rather than like, oh, wow, really motivated and inspired to help you. You seem a little bit desperate, right? You're just splashing out there that I'm open for business. So instead, try this. This is how you use your network. Search through your contacts and identify the influencers and the connectors. A couple people out there that you think are really the right type of personality, good at connecting people. Maybe they know some recruiters, whatever. Reach out to them individually. No blast, no crazy, like just slam it out there to everybody and see what happens. Write them a personal correspondence. Ask for advice, not jobs or leads. Ask them for advice. People are more likely to help the less pressure you apply. And if they have a job opening, they think you're qualified for it, they'll mention it without you asking. No form letters, no blasts, an actual human conversation. Yes, it's more work, but by giving it a personal touch, you've sent the message that they are worthy of your time and effort and that you could use their help. Not just any help, you could use their help. Number five, this is a good time to do a little research on your name on Google. Know who you are online. Personal branding is so important nowadays. And let's just like to my earlier point too, people are going to search for your information online and you want to know what they're going to see. Have you ever searched for your name online? I know I have. If you search for my name, you will likely discover a steroid dealer from Texas who ran sites like steroids.com, roidstore.com, and buysteroids.com. And I believe he was arrested on multiple occasions. That's not me, but it does say on my resume that I've launched multiple sports websites, and a lazy hiring manager could have put two and two together and assumed I was that guy who launches websites. You have to assume hiring managers have stacks and stacks of resumes for each job opening, and they're just not taking the time. So now imagine they're looking for an easy way to filter people out and shorten the stack. When they search your name online and come up with questionable results, you may be filtered out for something that you haven't even done. So you're probably wondering, what do I do? How do I handle this? Well, what I've done in the past, because I knew this existed out there, is I'd actually bring it up sometimes with hiring managers or with recruiters and say, hey, by the way, if you check me out online, just know that I am not that steroid dealer from Texas. And it would kind of, they'd kind of laugh and they have a little bit of fun with it. And we'd be able to say like, oh yeah, I've searched my name before. And there's always these weird things that come up. But it gives me that little sentence or that little introduction to it by having fun and kind of acknowledging it. It kind of crossed over this barrier of professionalism and got into this kind of funny conversation. And that allowed it to be less stressful. And the other thing you can do is try to get rid of the other person. You know, if you start guest writing on popular blogs or your profiles get more active, a lot of times you can push some of the other bad entries of your name down and you can become one of the top results. So just think of that as well. Number six, this is the last tip I'm going to give you of priming yourself for your job search, but this is a good one too. This is a really good time to explore your weaknesses and be aware of them. You know, I talked earlier in the show about reading job descriptions and figuring out what employers want and what they need and creating a plan to get yourself to that point. And that is a really great technique. once you explore your weaknesses, you can be, you can acknowledge them and you can talk about them and you can even talk about your plan. So if you've identified that, let's use like video editing, for example, you've identified that every one of these jobs you're looking for, or some of the jobs you're applying for, they all want you to know Final Cut Pro. Well, maybe then you decide to acknowledge, and you don't have that knowledge, like you've never worked on Final Cut Pro a single time, but maybe in your cover letter, you approach this and you say, you know, I'm, or in your interview, let's say you're having an interview with somebody or you have some sort of a conversation. You can even say something like, during the process, I've noticed many jobs require knowledge of Final Cut Pro. And I, while I know Adobe Premiere Pro very well, I took it upon myself to start learning Final Cut Pro last month. And, you know, again, you're showing a proactive attitude. You're showing that you're identifying your weaknesses a little bit, or seeing where you have a blind spot, and showing that you have a plan to attack it, showing that you have a plan to approach it. And if I'm a hiring manager, that says a lot to me. That says this person is working to refine themselves and they're being proactive. And that tells me if I hire this person, they're constantly going to work to improve themselves to fill whatever holes we have. So I think that's the kind of thing you can include in a cover letter and say, well, I have extensive experience with tool X. I have not used this other one, but I'm actively learning how to use it right now because I understand it's an important part of your open role. That shows some proactive, that shows some go-getter, and I like that. So don't be afraid to explore your weaknesses and then try to turn them into almost an advantage, almost turn them into something that should motivate them to see you in a new light, that you're self-aware and looking to change certain things. So this time of year, while it's the holidays and while you want to relax and eat more turkey and take more breaks, still stay active. Still be out there networking and following all these tips to get yourself ready and active to go, because people are looking, employers are looking for that right fit right now, and you don't want to get passed over. That's it for this week's show. I'm taking Wednesday off. There is not going to be an expert interview on Wednesday because it's Thanksgiving. And well, it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I want to enjoy that with my family, and I'm sure all of you do too. So go back and listen to any of our past episodes. They're all great. And I'll talk to you guys next Monday.